Thank you for joining us here today at Calvary Church, where we are committed to loving God and loving people. If you have any questions or want to learn more about who we are, visit us online at calvary.ca. Now let's check out this week's message from our lead pastor, Steve McDonald.
Hello, Calvary. Happy Valentine's Day and happy Family Day. Well, actually, that's tomorrow, but here in BC, we celebrate, so it's a great day for us to get into the next episode of our New Balance series with episode 2. Now, this month-long series has covered the 4 integral priorities of achieving a healthy, balanced life. When we look at God and family and work and health and how that all works together. And I think it's easy sometimes to compartmentalize or overindulge in any one of these areas. So as Christ followers, we need to really be diligent in finding a healthy rhythm in how these all work together. And through God's word, we have that path. And if we follow it, we'll walk in the benefits of what that kind of a balance looks like. Not when we put God and equalize him with the other things in our lives, because last week we learned that if we want to achieve the success and win that kind of balance in our lives, in all of these areas that we're talking about, that we need to be unbalanced in our devotion and our love for God himself. And so if we don't seek first God, then these other things tend to be askew or out of balance. And so we discover over time what that means to walk in the balance that God has for us. But it really has to do with priorities and how he sits at the top of that list and everything else in health flows from it. And so tomorrow being Family Day, it's a great day to talk about family today. And that focus is really something that as a church is core to what we believe. We believe that family matters because we know that God believes that. And so everything that we do, we want to develop strong families. And every strong family starts building on a strong foundation. And so for us, as ministry partners with you as parents or the body of Christ, because what we're talking about today doesn't just apply to those that are married or those that are, you know, parenting children, because the family has more to do with just that small nuclear family that we have. It's the body of Christ. It's how we get along relationally with one another. And so we partner with parents to provide resources to come alongside so that we can help to build that foundation. And our kids and our students, even throughout the week, have opportunities to do that, even though they're at the moment they're virtual opportunities, to build a deeper relationship with God, with who their Savior is, and with one another while they do it. And as parents and individuals, married couples, all of us have the same opportunity on a weekly basis to come together with small groups and to build community. Because at Calvary, in our church, in the context of who we are, that's really where we experience what true care and true connection is all about. And all of these things that we do are to again, bring you strength. Not to fill your calendar, not to give you more things than you could possibly do. It's really a biblical mandate. And we see that in Proverbs 24, verse 3. It says, it takes wisdom to have a good family. Again, this applies to all of us, whether you have kids or not, whether you're married or not. We're all a part of a family, the nuclear family and the spiritual family being the church. And it takes understanding, the Bible says, to make us strong. So I want you to have both. I want you to have wisdom, and I want you to have understanding in that balance so that your family relationships can be strong. And you can have that good family that Scripture talks about. You know, as parents, I think sometimes in our efforts to love and support our kids, especially as they're younger, sometimes we overdo it a little bit sometimes. We're a little too excited sometimes about that support. And as they grow older, they're kind of wanting to distance themselves a little bit from it. I remember taking our family to soccer practice when the boys were younger. And there was one dad in the stand who, he would scream his lungs out. You can see the vein on his neck as he screamed at the coach. And he screamed at his son. Now, in his mind, he was there being a good supportive dad. But he was just holding the wheel a little too tight, right? It was a little too much. He was lacking a balance. Or that mom who would go to the concert at the school and her child would get up to do a solo and she'd clap and she'd just love it. And sometimes she'd clap a little longer than most. You know, my wife Susan, she has video footage she was showing me this week of when they were children. And when she was like 4 or 5 years old, it was around Christmas time and her dad was in radio at the time before he got into ministry. He was involved in radio, so he always had the latest gadgets when it came to media. And so when the home video situation first showed up on the scene and he got himself a camera, it was time to go Spielberg on this Christmas and make family memories. And so in their house, like many of you, there was always a show happening. And so he wanted to document it. And so now looking back, we're able to see these clips, which are absolutely hilarious because there they are, the kids have just got up and one has got a baton, one's got a guitar, one's singing a song, one's doing a magic show. But they come into the living room and he's got all these lights set up to light the studio of the living room. But they don't realize how bright those lights are until they walk into the room. They're like, hey, Merry Christmas. And they all look like they've just come out of a bomb shelter after about 6 months and they're seeing the sunshine for the first time. It's too much. Make it stop. Sometimes our support for our children, even our support for our family members, can sometimes be blinding. It can sometimes be a little too much. The same is true for those that say, you know, I'm going to raise my kids with a little harder of a line. I want them to be responsible. I want them to grow up. And so some are more critical than others. But that can be overdone as well. And that can reach the point where it starts to bring harm. And so we need to find that balance. So what I want to give you today is some biblical wisdom on how you can gain the understanding that you need to grasp the essentials that we see in Scripture about how we can have a healthy, balanced family life, whether it's at home or whether it's here at the church. And these relationships are absolutely essential to every single one of us. You know, Proverbs 24:3, it starts by saying it takes wisdom to have a good family. So that's actually beyond training. It's beyond instruction. There's so much great material available right now for parenting or for family life or marriage, podcasts, great books, conferences, messages even on a Sunday. But the Scripture is referring to something that goes beyond mere instruction. It's more than a book. It's more than a conference. It takes something from above to intersect with our lives to bring about change. As a matter of fact, Scripture says that the beginning of wisdom starts with a fear of the Lord. And so there's a dynamic where heaven gets involved in our lives. And it takes that kind of dynamic in order to have the good family that Scripture is talking about. The second part of that verse in verse 3 says it takes understanding to make it strong, to make the family strong. Now that's an interesting word, understanding, because it means effort to apply truth to every situation that we encounter. In other words, it takes that kind of understanding to make our relationships, our family, our marriages, our church relationships. It takes that kind of understanding to help us parent so that we can be strong and that our families can be strong. And without understanding of this wisdom, our relationships are left out of balance. It's like reading a book but not applying anything to your life. You know, when parents first have a baby and they know that child is on its way, they get the what to expect when you're expecting, and they read every page. But you know what? Wisdom is incredible, but understanding comes from hands-on practice that sometimes you only develop and learn in the middle of the night when you're missing the sleep that you need. See, it's that on-the-job training that comes and develops us as we walk out that truth. So today I want to give you five principles that we're going to work through when it comes to understanding how much family matters to God and how we can achieve the balance in family that we're after. And the first of these five essentials that I want to share with you, the first one is probably the most important of them all. And this is where we need to start. So number one is authentic faith, which, as it sounds, as if to say there's also an inauthentic faith. And there is, actually. You know, there's a whole group of people that really haven't figured out that there's more to God than what happens on a Sunday morning. You see, from my perspective, these are the kind of people who haven't learned yet to lean on God's ability, on his anointing, on his power. They haven't gone past that experience, that one-hour experience on a Sunday morning. And I want you to be aware that, church is so much more than that. Because if for you, God is kind of at a distance, you're almost dating him at a distance. You tune in online for an hour on a Sunday morning. But then if you live the rest of your life and the rest of your week as if he has no bearing on how you do that, you've missed something incredibly important. Because God doesn't want to have a distant relationship with you. He doesn't want to just be a part of your life. He wants to be your life. And so the thing that we're missing, and sometimes people, good people, that love God and go to church, sometimes they miss that intimacy. They miss the fact that the Holy Spirit wants to speak to you in the midst of every situation that you experience and encounter. You'd miss that strength that comes, that's not just available on a Sunday morning, but that's available to you in every situation, every day, every moment. The Spirit of God is with you. There's so much more to God than religion. You have this incredible relationship that's dynamic, it's authentic, it's vibrant. And if it isn't, then you need to take stock. You need to step back and ask yourself why. You know, as a pastor, my desire is to lead you beyond that initial experience of what church is all about. I want to lead you to that real experience as you know God and as he knows you. Because that's when the change begins to happen. It's a wonderful thing. Then the Holy Spirit can speak to you when you're about to send an email, when you're about to make a phone call, when you're disciplining your children, when you're about to sit down and maybe have a difficult conversation with your spouse. It's in those moments, those real life moments, that the Holy Spirit speaks into your life and gives you the peace to navigate those difficult situations. And you can reap the benefits of a relationship with God as the Holy Spirit works in you and through you. And that's not, again, something that happens once a week. It should be happening every moment of the day. You know, the best marriage advice, the best parenting advice, the best relationship advice, the best pandemic survival advice that I can give you is the same. Get close to Jesus. Get close to him. You know, over almost three decades of pastoring and being in the ministry, I've had a lot of opportunities to sit down and counsel people and talk to them. And I'll listen to what they're experiencing. They want to let you know kind of the context of why they're talking to you. And after I give that time, it usually leads in the conversation to a question that I ask most people: how are you doing with the Lord? Because to me, if you haven't answered that question, then you're not ready to start down the road of finding the healing that you need in those areas of your life. How are you doing with the Lord? And those that identify and say, well, truth be told, I haven't been reading the word like I used to. Haven't been in prayer, haven't been out to church, I've been busy. And suddenly it's like a light goes on when they see the correlation of that lack of discipline in their lives as a disciple of Christ, and maybe the imbalance that they're experiencing in their lives. You know, we're blessed to partner with a number of incredibly gifted counselors and those that have been trained and have a real call to minister in helping people move their lives forward. It's a wonderful thing. But in order to find a balance at home, you have to first seek God. And if you're not seeking Him first, then achieving that balance in your home, in your family, in your relationships is going to be very frustrating for you. Absolutely nothing can substitute for the authentic, that authentic, vibrant, strong relationship that we have with God. Nothing can. And yet people try all the time. They try to put so many things in that area of our lives that God belongs in. Seeking Him first enables us to find that balance in all these other areas. It makes all the difference in the world. Proverbs 14, verse 26 says, reverence for God. Now look what it does within you. Reverence for God gives a man or a woman deep strength. Their children or their family have a place of refuge and security. Now let me give you this. This is some of the best advice that I can give you regarding the family before we go any further. And it comes directly from Scripture. Joshua 24, verse 15 says, choose for yourselves this day whom you will serve. But as for me and my household, we will serve the Lord. That is authentic faith. Sometimes we think that that is a once-in-a-lifetime decision that we make. But the truth is, each and every day, you must choose for yourselves who you will serve. Are you going to serve that lust for money or fame or fortune? Are you going to search for all of those things and try to find satisfaction in them? Who will you serve? Because until you determine that you're going to follow Him, you'll never find that balance. And really, as a parent, it's making that determination that your children will follow. Sometimes parents make the mistake of saying, how do you feel, honey? Would you like to go to church today? These kids are too young to make that decision. You need to lead them in the ways of life. You need to set that example. And sometimes we're not always the best example. And I'm not talking about perfection, because that's not what God has called you to do. But when your kid's seeing you making an effort, putting God first in your life, modeling that behavior will stay with them for a lifetime. Now, number two is a little bit more practical. And I think it's important to understand that the practical has its place in our spiritual development. Number two is intentional schedules. I realize that all of us only have so much time in the day. And so we need to find a way to wisely make the best of the time that we've been given. Let me say it this way. I think the healthiest families that I know, the ones that I admire, all generally say the same thing. They're very intentional about what they do and what they don't do. You see, they guard their time together, their vacation time, their downtime, their coach time, their dinner time. Tomorrow's family day. Get the kids together. Take them out to a restaurant. Have dinner. Do that at home. Put the screens down. You know that there's a time and place for everything, including the tablets and the television, but they're a poor substitute for a present and engaged parent. Don't allow technology to parent your children. Don't even allow the church to substitute who you are as a parent. You see, we're here to come alongside of you, to support you, to help you build that foundation. But nobody can play the role that you play in their lives. You know, when we make those decisions, when we put God first in everything that we do, we realize that a busy family is not necessarily a healthy family. I talk to some folks, and they talk to me about their soccer schedule, their volleyball schedule, their hockey schedule. They talk about their school schedule, talk about all the things that their kids are involved in, and it's exhausting listening to it. Now, living in the day that we're in right now, the decision for all of that involvement has kind of been made for us. And so a lot of us are not as frantic or busy as we used to be. And so again, I think that with all the negatives that this pandemic has brought, it's also been very revealing, as I said last week. Allow it as a time to look at your home, at your family, at our church family, and look at the areas that God wants you to look at to bring a better and a sharper focus in, to bring balance where there was imbalance. Ecclesiastes 4, verse 6 said, it is better to have only a little or a few things with peace of mind than to be busy and frantic all the time. That's solid scriptural family advice. Families that last are not built on the foundation of busyness, but on the foundation of relationships. Be intentional about the environment that you develop at home so that someday when your children grow and leave the house, they'll want to come back and spend time with you because it was a healthy place, not a place for them to escape. Same is true within the context of our church, that we want to make sure that we develop a healthy community of faith where we are investing into one another. Very, very important. You know, when I look back, my parents were involved in a ministry and a movement called Marriage Encounter. I think it's still going today, but back in the late 70s, they got involved in this Marriage Encounter weekend where they went away and were taught how to have a better relationship. And because of it, as their relationship improved, our family improved. Because of the health of what was going on between the two of them, they had to intentionally do it. It wasn't easy. And it had everything to do with communication. And the way the Marriage Encounter curriculum was set up is that they would call it dialoguing. And so they would be encouraged to write down how they felt, and then they would read it and share how they felt. And then that would bubble over onto how they parented with something they call family dialogue. Now, at the time, my sister and I, we hated it with a purple passion. They would say, okay, it's time for family dialogue. And they say, now just write down how you're feeling. And I just said, I'll tell you how I'm feeling. I don't want to do this. I don't want to talk right now. My friends want to go out. I got things to do. Well, we're going to take time and just express ourselves in this way. So even if you have to write down that you don't want to do it, okay, I'll write down, I hate dialoguing, right? And I would write it out. But what they were trying to encourage us to do, that I think now, later in life, what we hated at the time, we've grown to value now that we are grown, married, and have children of our own. Because encouraging communication takes intentionality. It takes you being engaged and present. And you can't talk to your family when you're looking at your phone. They can't listen or talk to you when they're doing the same. You can't be absent and present at the same time. Put it down. Take some time, not just to talk, but to listen. I think some of the things that we've lost in life are some of the simplest things. And sometimes we think that if we just fill the air with words, that hopefully something will stick. But as parents, even as leaders within the church, people are looking for those that will listen to them, those that will understand what they're going through. Jesus was a brilliant listener. He could listen to the things people were saying and hear what was going on in their life, even though they weren't articulating it properly. And so he often ministered to the needs that sometimes weren't even being brought to him. He would see past some of the initial needs and see what was really going on within them. All right, number three. The third essential that we need to find that balance in our home life is discovering purpose. And you cannot discover purpose unless you grasp that first principle, which is authentic faith. Because it's in knowing God, the one who created our purpose, that we will walk in it. And when you know why you're here, you'll know better what to say no to. You'll make better decisions in your life. You'll know your priorities. You'll know what a balance looks like. Parents, listen. Look for the things in your children's lives that are unique to who they are. And once you've identified it, get behind them and be their biggest cheerleader. Now, you've got to keep a balance in that, like we talked about earlier. But I think one of the most freeing things you can help your kids to understand is that they can't be good at everything. They can't be excellent at everything. Find the few things that they are, or even the one thing, and begin to develop it. We as adults need to understand that same thing. I know in my life that I'm not good at everything, but I am good at a few things, and God has given me those things to help me accomplish his purpose in this life. So we need to pay attention. We need to pray. We need to get involved. We need to listen and help them find the one thing in their lives that sets them apart. There's things about our church that make us unique. The fact that family matters so much in what we do makes us unique from many other different places. And so those that come know that God has called them to be here and to be with us. That's why we so long to see you back again and are believing as we seek the welfare of the city that day is coming. We believe we're closer to that day than we are to when all of this began. You see, there's an anointing on your life as a parent to speak into the lives of your children, to prayerfully prophesy into their lives that they'll walk in those ordered steps, that they'll identify what God has called them to, and then they'll run that race. Paul says it like this. Let me show you in Acts 20:24. It says, however, I consider my life worth nothing to me. Listen, my only aim is to finish the race and complete the task, that thing that God has called him to complete the task that the Lord Jesus has given to me. Every great parent understands that aim and does everything in their power to help their children walk it out, to get behind them and help them run that race. And as leaders, even within the church, as new people come to the church, God doesn't just want to do that in your life. He wants to use you to help those people that come in that were once lost to find him and then to discover that next step in their lives, to help them move life forward. So we need to speak the blessing of God over our family and believe that his life would be in their lives, that balance would be present. Number four, right relationships. As if to say again that there is wrong relationships, and there certainly is. You know, I've been pastoring, as I said, for more than 3 decades, and I've learned many different things, but let me tell you the one thing that I know with certainty. Every one of you are the sum total of your relationships. Good or bad, you are who you are because of the people in your life. And it's critical that we understand this. You show me your friends and I will show you your future. They have a great influence on the trajectory of where you're headed. That's why we put such a huge emphasis here at Calvary on relationships. We believe that God uses the Holy Spirit through the glue of small groups to bring people together, to be connected to one another, to have the care that's needed within the church. And so small groups provide this smaller community that happens beyond the larger community. They're so important. And this is where you will develop relationships, honestly, that will last you a lifetime. And they will hold you during incredibly difficult times. And you know what? Even though our small groups, many of them are online right now, don't say, you know what, I'm going to wait. I'm going to wait until we return to doing it live and in person because I'm just tired of the online thing. Listen, I understand what the Zoom fatigue feels like. I understand that. But I want to challenge you to prioritize the need for right relationships in your life beyond your personal preference, because here's what will happen. Sometimes we'll say, you know what, I'm going to pick up where we left off and I'm going to wait until we're back. Well, you know what? Months will pass, and you'll start to drift. You'll become discouraged, and you won't even be able to articulate what's going on. And sometimes you'll step back and wonder, why are the things that used to be so balanced in my life now askew? Why am I struggling with imbalance? Because I think that when we separate ourselves from the right relationships that God has put in our lives to help walk out what discipleship really looks like, it takes a community of people to do that. We're so much better together than we are alone. And would we all prefer to be face-to-face and in person again? Of course. But until that happens, let's make the best of what we have and be committed to not let the enemy pull us apart. And if I can get people into right relationships, if I can get people praying for you and supporting you and encouraging you, if I can surround you with people that are helping to point you towards your destiny in God, then I guarantee you, you'll have a strong foundation that will last the test of time. And it will last whatever we face, whether it's a pandemic or anything else that comes our way. You make sure that your roots are deep within the ground. Because it's during crisis that we can discover that our roots are all over the place. He wants you to be locked in. The best decisions you'll ever make in your life are relationship decisions. It's an investment in who you are. Proverbs 27:19 says, "A mirror reflects a man's face, but what he is really like is shown by the kind of friends he chooses." So choose wisely, like the old indie movie, right, where the knight has got the cups before him and says, "Choose wisely." Choose wisely the people that you surround yourself with, because they will either pull you down the ladder or they will help pull you up. And then the last one, it's an absolute must. You cannot have great relationships without amazing grace. It's amazing because, listen, it makes no sense. We've sung about it for years. We've talked about it. It's not just grace. It's amazing. It's amazing. It comes from the heart of God. He took everything I did and everything I continue to do. And with love, he still forgives me. Who does that? Only God. That's only God that can do that. And balanced relationships, especially within the family, need to be filled with that kind of grace. Listen, relationships are difficult. They're imperfect. They're messy. It's not an easy thing. And you can't experience the balance that you want without his amazing grace in operation within you. Our kids will make mistakes. Our loved ones will fail us and make mistakes. But our love needs to be there in the best and in the worst of times. Ephesians 4:32, and with this I close, says, "Be kind and compassionate to one another, forgiving each other." Listen, just as Christ forgave you. You know what? You'll never have to forgive someone more than Christ forgave you. Family matters to him, so it should matter to us. You know, as I was studying and preparing for this message, I was carrying in my heart a heaviness for some of you that are dealing with broken relationships. You're frustrated. You don't know where to turn. It's been difficult. It's been revealing this difficult time. It's made a tough relationship even more difficult. Today, the Holy Spirit wants to move in your life. He wants to move in your family. Parents, those of you that are praying for your son or your daughter, maybe those that have walked away from God, today, I want to encourage you that they're coming back in Jesus' name. Husbands and wives, those of you that have you don't know what to say anymore. You can't hide in any more rooms in the house to get away from that person. You need a miracle in your life. You need healing in your relationships. Today, as we close our service, I'm going to pray and believe that the Holy Spirit would bring about healing within you, but that you will take these steps. You will take the advice I've given to get closer to Jesus than you've ever been before. Because if you don't seek him first, everything else will be an exercise in futility. Put him first, and you'll see health begin to move in every relationship that you have. Would you pray with me right now, wherever you are? Father, as I stretch out my hand to our viewers all around the world, wherever they are, I pray today for your healing power to be in marriages, to be with fathers and their sons and daughters, with mothers and their sons and daughters, with relatives, brothers and sisters, and relationships that have been fractured even between friends, for friends that are a part of our church who have become like family. I pray that if they're dealing with things that nobody else knows about except you, Lord, right now in Jesus' name, I pray for the relationships that they carry and that are heavy on their heart, that in Jesus' name, you would bring about healing and transformation in their lives, to restore balance, to restore health. We thank you for the wisdom that your word gives us, and now we pray for that understanding to be able to apply it to every situation we face. In Jesus' mighty name we pray, amen. God's best to all of you, Calvary. Have an amazing week.